plate a potential nugget.
And you talk about five traps in the book that leaders find themselves in. While I wanted to explore these in a little bit of detail, it'll be great if you could maybe give the listeners a sense of what the headlines are here around the five traps and the gist of the idea. And I wanted to sort of go deeper on some of these ideas later in the conversation.
Yeah, super. So these are the five traps I find most kind of dangerous, sneaky and dangerous when we're faced with complexity. The first one I think about is what I call the rightness trap, right? It's actually the way our minds trick us into believing we're right, even when we have not enough evidence or thought devoted in this direction. As people have been studying this phenomenon, which is widely studied, this like, why do humans think they're right so much when they're dealing with things that they couldn't possibly be right about even? And why is it that we have so much confidence in our own capacity to be right about, you know, a crazy variety of things? Researchers started to find that rightness is this sort of sense of certainty, a feeling of certainty, is actually an emotion. It's not, in fact, a cognitive process. It's not the result of the thinking. And so we get trapped by this sense that we are right, and that disguises data from us. The second one is simple stories. We humans have grown to live in and love the narrative. It connects us. It makes our communities, our societies, our organizational cultures more possible. But it also tricks us into thinking that pretty much everything can have kind of a beginning, a middle, and an end, that pretty much everything can be connected in a kind of straightforward, linear story way, and that there are heroes and villains and dragons, you know, out on our landscape, and we're always trying to fit those archetypes, which are very unhelpful in a complex world. So we get really trapped by our connection to narrative and to a kind of narrative character. So that's the simple story trap. Then there's this way that humans have been in many ways, we've evolved to live together well. And to know who our people are and who our people are not. And one of the ways we seem to have done that is by focusing on agreement. What is it that you and I both agree on? And it turns out that we both get a hit of dopamine whenever we find something about which we agree. It actually feels delicious to agree with somebody else. We have a sense of recognition and happiness there that comes from that. And similarly, it causes the same, in a brain scan, you cannot tell the difference between physical pain and social pain. And so to our brains, to our neurology, it really is the same whether we've been injured or whether we've had our feelings hurt. So this means that we have created all sorts of ways for us to escape conflict and disagreement with those to whom we are close, and at the same time to amplify conflict and disagreement with those with whom we disagree. And this creates all kinds of unhelpful dynamics and polarization that we could all point to in the great political spheres of our world, as well as the organizational ones. So that's the third idea, that we're trapped by our need for, our desire for agreement. The fourth one is about control. We love feeling like we're in control. Actually, feeling like we're in control of things has all kinds of positive health outcomes. And at the same time, in complexity, you cannot control any outcome that matters. Nobody can control complexity. It's one of the defining features of complexity, is it emerges from the interaction of a variety of interconnected forces or people. And so often we are unsettled by this, and we try harder and harder to control a thing that's uncontrollable. And as we do that, we tend to create very perverse outcomes and oftentimes oddly opposite the outcomes that we were hoping to go for in the first place. That's the fourth one. And then the last one, which is quite connected to this adult development idea earlier, is that who we are today often requires us to kind of protect or defend that person, that way of being. And we have some significant energy bound up in making us feel okay and look okay with the person we are today. And that gets in the way of growing into the person we will be. It's sort of that question we were on earlier about, do you leave the shore behind? You have to believe that the shore behind is worth leaving, that there's something else out there for you to leave the shore that you're on. And so there's a way we get trapped by our own egos, by the person we're being gets in the way of the person we could be becoming. So those are the five.
If you found this nugget of value, you might also find my conversation with Arun Mayra interesting. He was the former chairman of Boston Consulting Group in India and was a member of the Planning Commission. You might specifically find the nugget "Leadership in an Open System" of particular relevance.
In an open system, leadership has to emerge, and the leader must acquire the right to lead from the people. And exercise that power not through authority over the people, through and also budget giving and money rewarding powers over the people. So in an open system, people are all like in a chaotic situation, and you must get followership and thus become the leader. And to remain a good leader, always capable of leading in that open system as it changes, you mustn't get overused to using your authority power, because those muscles otherwise become the strong ones. And the other muscles, if you had them and you weren't, you know, God-given, planted as a leader, are will atrophy.
In this conversation, Arun refers to some of the principles in systems thinking to share his perspectives on how we think about driving change as one of the participants in the system. Like, for example, Mahatma Gandhi did when he brought us independence. Thank you for listening. For more content across 50 plus speakers, 500 plus nuggets, painstakingly curated across 65 odd themes, please visit playtopotential.com. You can also find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcast Player, and most other podcast platforms.